The Heart of Rural America is brought to you by the new auction platform, Bid on Beef. We invite you to buy beef the cowboy way through an honest bidding process where you have the power to pick the ranch, pick the cut, and pick the price. You are in the driver's seat, and we are excited to ship beef directly to your door. Use code WELCOME10 for your first $10 to shop when you register to bid at bidonbeef.com. Welcome to the Heart of Rural America podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, an American cattle rancher and motivational speaker, raising my kids and writing children's books in South Dakota. There's a David and Goliath story unfolding in agriculture today. And I don't know about you, but my money is on the underdog, the hardworking folks who value faith, family, freedom, and their farming communities. This show will highlight the untold stories of these resilient and determined families who I have the great pleasure of meeting in my travels across this nation as an agricultural speaker. It is my hope that their stories will remind us to live with great courage because we are not alone in this fight to keep producers on the land and meat, dairy, and eggs on the dinner table. Now let's hit the dusty trail together as we uncover the heart of rural America.
Welcome to your show. Here's my mom, Amanda Radke.
Hey everyone, Amanda Radke here, back for another episode of the Heart of Rural America podcast, the show where we highlight great people doing inspiring things in their rural communities to make agriculture and this country stronger. I would be remiss without mentioning that somehow in the craziness of summer and just kind of punching out podcasts, I failed to even notice that the 100th episode had just been released. And so I guess in the weeks ahead, I'm going to be highlighting some of the top listened to episodes. But I just wanted to take this time before the show kicks off to thank you guys sincerely for sticking with me for 100 episodes. And I would love to hear from you on any potential new guests you'd like us to welcome to the show. If you have time to subscribe and leave a review, that would mean the world to me. And just thank you. And as well, thanks to our sponsors for making the show possible. But with that, I'm eager to get into today's discussion. I think it's going to be one of those discussions where there's going to be a lot of value to it, especially if you are a beef cattle producer wanting to get into direct-to-consumer sales. And the gal I have brought on to today is a master at it. She is someone I've admired for a long time. Her and her husband are clients on bidonbeef.com, so you have definitely heard their names before. But Jordan Clausen, she's a Nebraska cattle rancher. She's got this great beef program, and her and I are going to have this wonderful discussion that I'm excited to share. So, Jordan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Amanda.
You're a busy mom. You have a lot of things going on in your life, but I guess just to kick off the show, tell us about you and your husband, your guys' cattle operation, and maybe how you got started into this whole direct-to-consumer beef world.
Yeah, so I'd be remiss without starting with our family first. So our family is me and my husband, Travis, and then we have a daughter, Hattie, and then we just welcomed a little boy in February. His name is Whitley. So it's just the four of us on our farm. We're cow-calf to finish. So my husband, Travis, and I met in college, and we found out like his passion in life is in the cow-calf side. So he does some custom calving for people as well, which just means that we bring in the mother cows over the winter and then calve them out and then bring them out to ranches in the spring. And then we also do a little bit of row cropping just to supplement the feed for our cattle that we do finish. And then also bring a little bit to the elevator, which was my original background. I did operations and logistics for a grain company. And then I realized, hey, my passion is in direct to consumer beef sales. So in high school, I had a little bit of a background of doing some roadside produce sales, and I just loved it. It was really one of those like big highlight milestone moments of your life when you realize, hey, this is my passion and it can intersect with a need that needs to be addressed with people. So then that's kind of how the direct to consumer beef side came about. And we are out at farmers markets. We're listed on Bid on Beef. And then we also have a website of our own. But over the course of starting this direct to consumer beef business, it has been a roller coaster of learning curves. But that's something fun that my husband and I can tackle and challenge each other with and work through together.
Well, I just love your family. I love seeing your family like grow, and you guys do everything together as a family. And it's a lot like my family. So it's just fun to see that entrepreneurship taking place in like your instilling the seeds early on in your kid. Right.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember, how did we even meet? How did you remember? Or is this just
things? I think it's kind of like one of those, like when you go in the same circles together, you're bound to meet at some point. I followed you for a while. And then also, I think just through the Catholic side of things, you know, being in a lot of the same bubbles. So always great to speak with you. And I always feel like I gain a lot of inspiration anytime I'm with you in person too.
Was that Catholic event? That was the first time we met in real life, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, what was that event called again?
We're in Norfolk, and it was like a rural deanery meeting. So basically, for any listeners who aren't Catholic, basically it's just like a annual meeting to come together of all the churches in our area and talk. And Amanda was a featured speaker at that event. So we were talking about things going on regionally within our church, and then she was the keynote speaker.
Yeah, it was like the 100th anniversary celebration, I think.
Yeah.
And I got to bring Scarlett along.
And yes, that was so fun.
Yeah, the cherished memory. Scarlett talked about saints that she likes. And it was.
Someone drinks with her. I was like, man, I think I need Scarlett to teach me some lessons.
Yeah, right? She's really something. But it's one of those things I think I've learned in my faith, too. It's like my kids are at that age where they're so inquisitive and they ask them questions. And all of a sudden it was like, I'm sure I learned this when I was growing up. But like, I need to relearn it now so that I can tell my kids appropriately, like what the answers are. And so I do feel like motherhood has sharpened my like curiosity for my faith, because it's like, okay, now I have to not just learn it, absorb it. Now I have to teach it and instill it in the next generations.
Yes.
I'm just like, they're younger, but it's coming. And it's, when you're playing 50 questions with your kids and you're like, I don't know, I have to look this up, but it's like, okay, look it up together. I think one of the unique things about, well, Been on Beef and like for me, my partnership with Chris Earle, who's a man of faith also, it always feels really good to align with people who have the same values, who approach life and business with like that as the center. And so that's really why I hold you guys so near and dear to my heart, because we do have those shared values. And
yes,
and I think it shows in your work and the beef you're serving, like everything you do, it's a reflection of those core values. And so let's talk about the beef. For you guys that don't know, they have been a featured ranch on BenOnBeef.com. And to understand like what that means, we've had over 500 inquiries for interested producers that want to be on this auction platform. We have whittled it down at this point. We had about 30 at one point, but we are down to, you know, 10, 15 elite ranching families that we feel have like the best of the best beef that we can find. And consistently, Jordan, you probably don't even know this, but consistently I get feedback on your guys's beef specifically. And like I've ordered two, and it is amazing. It is a top tier Angus product. The marbling, the flavor, the tenderness is there. And I guess like, what's the secret to your success there? Because this is consistently good beef. I guess maybe tell us a little bit about your program and how the beef gets from pasture to plate.
Yes. So I have to give all the genetics credit and decision-making to my husband. That's not an area of strength of mine. It's something I'm trying to learn more about. Basically, how it started is my husband got into the cow-calf business, and we purchased 10 head of mother cows, and we capped them out, and we started making genetics decisions based upon what we were seeing with our eyes. We have now transitioned to starting to do some DNA testing on our cattle just to make sure that what we see with our eyes is validated on the backside with data. And so we want to make sure that we're selecting these cattle with the traits in mind of the consumer in the end. And so we want to make sure that we are looking at not only the way that we can handle them. It's really important to us with having children around that we have really calm cattle. We want to make sure that they have good calving ease so that they can, you know, we could get more generations out of them as well. And then also making sure that their genetics are selected for the marbling traits. And so Travis does a lot of that. I also just support him on the backside with some of the decision making and conversations. And I know he reaches out to a lot of his friends who are in the ranching business too, just to get feedback on that. But once those traits are selected and the cattle are in our program, we make sure that we take care of them as best as we can. We work with a nutritionist that's out of Lee, Nebraska, and he comes out to our farm and looks at all of our cattle. So whether that's our cow-calf program or our finishing cattle program, and making sure that we are taking into consideration all the factors of the season and as well as any other things that we need to be looking at. And then we also just do general herd evaluations over time. And with all of that being said, in the end, it's about a 2-year process from cow calf to finish. Right. And so then we partner with some great processors to make sure that the scariest time for a producer is when you hand that beef over to a processor, because you've just cared for it for 2 years and it can get messed up pretty fast and pretty easily at the processor. Yeah. So we make sure that we really select our processors with a lot of care as well and communicate with them thoroughly throughout the process. And so when we're working with all of our customers, we like to communicate with them like, hey, you'll talk to us and then we'll handle all of the processor conversations as well, just to kind of keep those relationships where they need to be as far as business goes. And then once our beef is finished, then we do take it out to farmers markets, to the Bid on Beef platform, and just making sure that we're getting out in front of consumers and getting their feedback. So basically, if a consumer comes to us with feedback, we take that into consideration, whether that's positive or negative, and adjust accordingly. And throughout our entire business, it's just being willing to pivot and make changes as needed.
At Radke Land and Cattle, we proudly use Advanced Ag Products BioReg Plus. With its proprietary coating technology for slow release of essential oils in the lower GI tract, BioReg Plus products are designed and proven to help beef producers with overall performance, feed intake, gut integrity, nutritional support, immunity, fertility, and reproductive health. With the rising cost of beef cattle production today, having optimal performance and minimizing health challenges in every head counts. Learn more at bioreg.com and tell them Amanda sent you.
The Heart of Rural America is presented to you by CK6 Consulting Services. I have the great pleasure of working alongside the CK6 team, including Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, and Cody Fleeman, and it's an honor to assist cattle producers as they strive to meet their business goals. With a purebred Angus specialization, we have a full slate of auction sales coming up as we work to maximize price discovery and capture true value for our clients and customers. Plus, let us help you identify your next herd sire for the upcoming breeding season. At CK6 Source, you'll find great customer service, fast shipping, and a focus on leading Angus genetics. Learn more about what we do at ck6consulting.com and ck6source.com. We would love to assist you any way we can. God bless.
So tell us a little bit about the farmers market. Where do you guys go? How long have you been doing it? And what's that process been like, building a customer base in that setting?
Yes. So we go to the Bellevue Farmers Market, so that's just south of Omaha, and we're there on Saturdays. That's from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., and then we drop down into Lincoln, and on Sundays, we're at a market from 10 to 2 p.m. That's at College View off of 40th and Prescott in Lincoln, and that's considered like the grocery store market of Lincoln. I love that market so much just because it really is all about the food and making those relationships with customers. So we love taking our meat out to the market. We do encourage pre-orders. If you're going to order in bulk, you know, the market is a great place to stock up, but just kind of give us a heads up first, because sometimes it is hard on the packing side of things to figure out what to pack and what to bring to each market. But we also do a couple value-added foods that we bring there, our brats and beef sticks and beef jerky. And then we also cut nose to tail. So we bring all of those cuts with us too. And it's fun to talk to customers and see, you know, what they're looking at making. I have so many people who come by my booth and say, hey, this is what I want to make. What kind of beef do I need to use for this? And it's a way for me to learn and gain recipe information as well.
So I'm sure you've probably heard it all at the farmer's market. So what are, what are some of the questions you've ever been asked?
Well, I don't know. I get a lot of people who are really just questioning like grass-fed, grain-finished labeling terms. And then, you know, why are we doing that versus only being grass-finished? I really like to point out to people, you know, we're based on traditional values and really delivering the best quality beef that we can. And in order to do that, we do need to incorporate corn into the diet of the cattle, just to really get that marbling and finished product. But you know, we get a lot of questions about that. We get a lot of questions about vaccines and how we handle our cattle and animal welfare. But I'm a volunteer with Common Ground, and I feel like I can attribute a lot of information that I'm able to stand on my feet and quickly answer people's questions to some of the facts and information I'm provided through that program as well. I just like to be transparent with consumers and say, hey, this is what we do on our farm. You know, we would love to be a fit for you and your family, but if we're not, that's okay too, but we might know people who are. So just kind of redirecting them to people who may be a better fit for them if it's not us.
Yeah. You know, I see so many of these marketers online, direct to consumer, and it's like the ones that go viral on social media, the ones usually either go for bashing somebody else in order to sell their product. Like they go negative and then like, we're so much better. Or, you know, they really lean on people's emotional fears and like that they're the solution. And I guess I never go viral on social media in that regards because I never want to bash another cattle producer for doing it a different way. The thing about this country is like the landscape is so diverse.
Oh, yeah.
What cattle run on is so diverse. How cattle get to the plate, it's different and no matter where you're at in the part of the country. And it's like, I don't want the beef industry to be chicken, where it's like every chicken breast tastes the exact same. Just put the sauce on it that you want.
Right.
It's like, no, there's nuance to beef. And I get the grass-fed, grain-fed thing all the time. And I tell people, it's like me personally, I prefer grain-fed beef. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's like the grass-fed guys will sometimes try to promote the nutritional difference, which to me is very slight. But to me, it's a taste difference. I encourage people to like, well, sample them both and see which taste profile you like better. You know, they have very different distinct flavors in the fat and the marbling. And if I'm not a good fit, then I probably do know somebody that can fit your particular needs and what you're shopping for. And so I appreciate that you're positive about it, that like you're honest and transparent with your customers. Like, this is who we are. This is what we do. And we're unapologetic for it. And we'd love to serve your family if we're a right fit. If not, there's probably other options. And I've been watching some of the conversations online right now, and especially American Angus had come out with this partnership with Jeff Bezos and the Meth Hub and talking about emissions. And, you know, one of the things I've pointed out in conversations with people, especially now that we've been doing Bid on Beef, is like we've sold to 49 states in the country. Not once have we been asked if this is like a methane-friendly steak. So I into that to ask you, do you get asked about climate change at the farmers markets and that kind of thing? Or like, what do you really think consumers are shopping for when they're looking for a cut of beef or a ranch to buy from?
Yeah, I do not get asked about, you know, greenhouse emissions or things like that. It's not really a conversation that comes up with customers. Most people are shopping for authenticity. So Travis and I, we like to say, you know, this beef has been raised by our family for years. So, you know, we have had a hand in this whole process. If you want to come out to our farm, we can arrange that, you know, give us a call ahead of time, make sure we're there, not out doing tours, all the things. But really, I think people are just looking for someone who's genuinely interested in being their resource for beef. And also, I think, you know, people are a little bit put off by maybe some things they see in the meat cases at the grocery store, as far as changes that are occurring in beef buying and things like that. And so they do want to a rancher to buy from. Most people also are looking for like distinct cuts of beef. I'm starting to see that becoming more and more popular. And then also when you get into like various cultures, once they find your business, they'll go and tell like all of their family and friends about it too. So that's been fun to learn about just what different pockets of people are looking for and what ways we can meet their needs. And we're trying to continue to educate people on buying in bulk. You know, when we're looking at using up the entire carcass, we need to make sure that we're pushing it evenly across the board. So, you know, capturing that premium price for our steaks, but also continuing to move ground beef and roast and things like that as well. They say the steaks, you know, make up about 20% of the overall carcass of the animals. So I have people who come to me all the time and they say, oh, I want to buy in bulk, but I only want steaks and ground beef. I don't want any roasts. And it's like, well, you can grind the roast into specifically ground beef, but unfortunately in the animal, we're not going to end up with any more steaks than what can be cut in general. So as much as we all want.
Unfortunately.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
And that leads me to that question, because I do see a common theme with the inquiries we're getting on Bid on Beef and other producers that I'm talking to. It's like the steaks fly, obviously. Don't want to buy them. Mm-hmm. I guess what's been your strategy to move, you know, roasts and ground beef in bulk and get that out the door as well?
Yeah. So we try to stay really price competitive on our ground beef. You know, we're not capturing a premium dollar, really, realistically speaking, for our ground beef, keeping it at a price that people are pretty familiar with. I do go into the grocery stores every so often to look at the meat counters just to make sure that we're kind of priced. The grocery store is not dictating the price that I'm setting, but I do like to be aware of the price that's being offered in the grocery store just to make sure that I understand when I'm articulating the price of my beef to a customer, what they're familiar with and seeing. And then on the roast, I just stay pretty fair price. We've been at $25 for a 3-pound roast for the last 2 years. So then they just know what to continually expect from us. Now, that's not to say that might never change, but that's just a price that we feel is fair. About a year ago, that price was maybe a little bit high on a per pound basis, but right now it's actually, you know, more fair / cheap than it was previously. And so also just continuing to educate our customers, like, hey, we're a small family farm, and so we have to spread out these dollars. You know, you have to get so many dollars out of your beef, and we have to spread them out across all the cuts. So if you're really wanting to capture the value, you're going to need to buy in bulk and kind of put your money where your mouth is. You know, if you want to buy a whole beef, you have to pay that up front. And otherwise, we do go down to a 16th of the beef there. And then otherwise, we're continuing to price out those cuts individually. So your ribeye is going to be more expensive than a New York, you know, and keeping prices adjusted accordingly.
That reminds me, I just got some New York strips from your place. It's excellent.
Working cattle can be stressful at times, but the job is made so much easier with equipment that is safe, strong, and simply designed. I highly recommend Real Tough Livestock Equipment for all your working facility needs. We just installed the deluxe chute at Radke Land and Cattle, and it has been an absolute game changer as we run cows through our chute during AI season. It's durable and easy to use, and it's made to last a lifetime. Real Tough offers a wide range of products, including calving barns, panels, loading chutes, tubs, alleys, and portable working systems. Manufactured in the U.S. of A., Real Tough is family-owned and operated. Their commitment to helping farm and ranch families truly exemplifies what this show is all about. Learn more at realtuff.com, that's T-U-F-F, and be sure to tell them Amanda sent you to receive an extra bonus with your order. Let's get you some iconic green Real Tough equipment headed your way. I promise you're going to love it. You guys know, as a beef girl, I take grilling very seriously around here. And I've been using Redmond Real Salt for over a decade to season my steaks and burgers. It's unrefined, ancient sea salt, exactly as nature made it. It contains 60 plus naturally occurring trace minerals, and it truly brings out the best of the beef we raise at home on the ranch. This American family-owned business also focuses on livestock products. And at Radke Land and Cattle, we are proud to use the beneficial Redmond Real Salt minerals to get back to the basics and help our cattle improve fertility, immunity, and feed efficiency. It's natural, simple, and effective for people and livestock. Discover more at redmondagriculture.com and redmondlife.com and use code RADKE to save. Or contact a local dealer and mention my name for a special discount.
Okay, the learning curve for this direct-to-consumer thing, it's steep. And I know, you know, like, especially during COVID, when the world shut down, the grocery store shelves were empty. Like, what a time to be in beef sales. I mean, anyone could really make it work, right? But now we're in a different season where money is a little tighter with Americans. Basically, anywhere you go, you know, the price you can get at the sale barn is pretty darn awesome without having to deal with people. Yeah. You just drop them off. And so you're in the grind right. of it. So maybe could you give some advice for these swings? I mean, I'm sure the pandemic was great for you guys, but now we're here. How are you guys navigating this season in beef sales and being successful at it?
Yeah. So, well, being cow-calf to finish kind of gives us a unique opportunity, but also a lot of explaining to do to our banker, to be quite honest. We have a very supportive banker. We're very thankful for him. But, you know, anytime you're trying to explain your finances to someone else and justifying the decisions that you're making, it is difficult. And this year he came to us and he was like, are you guys sure that you're really making the right decision? Because you could just take these cattle over to the sale barn. You wouldn't have any of the headache of dealing with anyone, and you would just get your check and move on. And we said to him, we're like, well, we're aware of the decisions that we're making, but we're wanting to continue on our beef business because we're seeing so much excitement and great feedback coming from customers to make sure that the, you know, this beef business keeps going. So as I mentioned before, it is a 2-year process. So any cattle that are being born right now won't be processed until basically 2028, essentially. Looking back 2 years ago was a completely different beef dynamic of the cattle we're processing right now. So it's a very cyclical process that we're in, and just continuing to try to make the best decisions that we can, given the circumstances that we have. And every year, Travis and I sit down and we say, okay, going to do, what are our numbers looking like? So basically, due to the market and different things right now, we're going to hold our beef quantity at the same price going into next year. Part of that is because of the DNA testing that I was talking about earlier. Did culls, like some of our cows that just weren't fitting what we were looking for. And then coming up, we are developing a fall program. So that'll give us more diversity among our processing dates. So we'll have still our bigger processing in the spring, but yet have another one in the fall as well. And so just continuing to look at the dynamics of what's going on around us, but then also taking into account, you know, what happened 2 years ago and the decisions that we made then, and just doing our best that we can.
I think you guys just staying consistent and staying in it. It's like people remember that, because if you're kind of in and out of the beef sale thing, like these families move on to a different family that's always there. So it's like you can't really abandon the loyal customer base that you've developed and grown time. And I think that will pay dividends off in the years to come. It is tricky when it's like, well, you can just drop them off in the sale barn. But yet, you know, if I look at the beef industry as a whole right now, and we have the lowest cow herd we've had since 1962. I did read an article in Western Livestock here a couple of weeks ago that there may be some signs of some rebuilding in our herd. However, that also means like, okay, if people are retaining heifers again or starting to, well, that's less beef even that's going into the market. So supplies will be tight. You know, we're seeing increased consolidation with family farms kind of going out of business. We're seeing 85% of our beef supply is held captive by 4 major players. And it's like all these pieces to me see our food supply becoming very corporatized, very like you're just a cog in a wheel. And I don't want that. I would love to see my vision for like how to make our food supply strong is that there would be a beef boutique on every corner. There would be family that like that family could serve so many families in the community and, you know, across the nation. And I think competition is great. And I think the more families, the better. And so what I like about Bid on Beef is being able to be a cheerleader for other families, because I want to see you win. But also in the same vein, I love to see these, how excited these families are to buy from a rancher, like know where their beef comes from and feel like, I know that family, I know their story, and I'm willing to pay a premium for it because I like them. So I guess all that was like totally a soapbox moment. I apologize, but how have you guys positioned yourself in the marketplace to best tell your story? And I guess, what do you think has resonated the most with your customer base about, you know, who you guys are?
I think just kind of where we're able to tell our story and say, hey, you know, we are 2 kids who met in college and decided this is what we're going to do, and we're going to figure out a way to do it. That resonates with a lot of people, as far as just being like, you know, this isn't something where we've been force into this idea or force into this business. Like, this is business just like our marriage that we're choosing every day. This is, you know, given the circumstances of the beef industry right now, you have to continue to want to be in this direct to consumer beef business every single day. Otherwise, you would go and just sell your cows at the sale barn and get back in when the market's low and try to capture that premium through direct to consumer. And then also, we're very authentic in how we tell our story. And I am also like a visual storyteller. So I take a lot of pride in our website and just kind of how that looks, continuing to make sure that our products that are displayed, whether that's on the Bid on Beef platform or on our website or different places, that it's continuously consistent across the board, just being sure that our product, when it's delivered to your door, also backs up that same narrative in making sure that, you know, you're getting the best experience that's offered and that is, you know, in line with everything that you've seen about our business. And so we have grown over time significantly from where we started, but we also have grown very slowly. So we knew that this was going to be a process that was going to take a long time, but Travis and I, we wanted to start and build it together and make sure that we were taking into account the customer experience and never wavering on what that looks like. Because to us, you know, we go and we buy things as well, and that customer experience is really important. And if you're inconsistent in that, or your product quality is not consistent, or your packaging, you know, you're having packaging issues. We went through some of that a couple of years ago with some packaging that maybe wasn't thick enough or not sealing correctly, things like that. It's like, you have to make sure that you're continuing to communicate with your customers as to what they can experience. And you have to hold yourself accountable to that too. And sometimes that is not pretty, and that is a hard thing to do, but you have to make changes where it's needed. And so I think we've finally gotten to a point where we have our product, you know, we're proud of it, and we're ready to put it on that stage.
Okay. So I'm trying to think of like rapid fire questions to ask you with, like, I think we have got about 7 minutes left in the show from a producer's perspective. They're like, okay, I've got beef in the backyard. I'm ready to start selling. And like, it's not that easy, right? You have to be USDA inspected facility. You have to have right insulated boxes. You have to be able to figure out shipping and your online website.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about shipping. Pros, cons, you guys have probably tried it all. Like, what is best for you guys as far as getting that beef in a box, having it delivered frozen to somebody's door, and not have the entire thing fall apart when that expensive beef is stuck in a UPS shipping place somewhere and it's thawing and it's ruined?
Yeah. Well, shipping is a very, very steep learning curve. I tried to, I guess you could say, do it the cheap way, figure it out myself in the beginning. And I was like, this is just not working. So I paid two other producers that I know. I paid one for like a shipping guide, and I paid another one for an online course that she was offering, and just trying to figure out what works. I have two different boxes. One is a styrofoam cooler, and I refuse to ship anything in June or July that is not in that styrofoam cooler, unless, you know, if it's going to South Dakota, knowing that that's a short distance away. Also, I will use that cooler if I am going to ship in August, but I really try not to ship anything in August just because I've never really had a great experience with anything arriving as expected in August. And so you have to take those coolers into account. The other huge major issue we had for a little while was pelletized dry ice is not the same thing as dry ice in a brick. And you have to take that into account. And then also shipping with a gel pack is not the same thing as shipping with dry ice. So you just have to figure out what works for you. And really taking into account, you know, UPS time, what we ship through UPS, so you can use other services as well, but taking into account, like, when does it arrive? When's the last time that you can have it arrive to the facility, you know, to be picked up first, was a game changer for us, because we were delivering, I didn't realize it at the time, but we were delivering packages, then they would sit there all day at our local UPS until it got picked up. And so we were wasting a day of transit just locally and making sure that we get those packages there on time and that we're continuing to track them. It does get more difficult when you do just say like the Bid on Beef shipments, for example. You know, if we're shipping a large quantity at one time, it's not smaller packages that you can easily track. You have to go in and set it up for multiple shipment tracking and look at all of those. But it's so worth your while to keep an eye on those on those shipments. And that's been one benefit we've seen through working with Bid on Beef, is just making sure to have that shipment communication. If you're just a single person shipping, you don't have a very big voice. But when producers get together and can ship together, then your voice is heard more through the absolutely. UPS.
Let's talk about the farmers markets. What dates, how can people find you? When are you there? And then let's talk about the website option too, about how about that.
So on Saturday mornings, we're in Bellevue, which is just south of Omaha, from 8:30 to 12:30. You can find us there. We also offer door deliveries in the greater Omaha area and as well as Bellevue on Saturday. So that would look like a Saturday morning door delivery and then 8:30 to 12:30 at the market. And then we drop down. So we're going through Ashland, Louisville area down into Lincoln. So we can offer door deliveries in that area. And then we drop into Lincoln. That would be a Saturday afternoon door delivery. And then on Sundays, we are at the market from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. off of 40th in Old Cheney Prescott area at Union College. It's the Sunday market at Union College, and you can see us there. And we also try to be really flexible. We do offer some porch pickups in Lincoln, and just trying to continue to get our beef out in front of people and get that feedback, continuing to make business decisions as best we can. We also offer our website. So our website is factored off of 2-day shipping. So we like to, it's kind of like beef insurance, I guess you could say. Shipping 2-day is the smartest way to ship beef. So our website is factoring in that 2-day shipping. If you're in our area where you feel that ground would, you know, whether that's Nebraska, South Dakota, Colorado, you can have that conversation if it's in the colder months to maybe get you a shipping discount. But we offer, you know, all the ways to get our beef, whether that's door delivery, farmers markets, or shipping, we can get it to you. And it's always a fun challenge to ship a box and then hear how it arrived on the other
absolutely.
Side.
I'm listening to this and I'm like, wow, she's a busy mother of young. And I know I'm not the only one that's listening. How do you juggle all this? How do you juggle deliveries and getting the beef boxed up and running and chasing down people and the farmers markets? Like, that is a lot of time. So how are you doing that?
Yeah, it is a lot of time. It's something I'm really passionate about. So I feel like sometimes once you find that intersection of what you're passionate about, that it really fuels you to do it. So I'm really passionate about it. I also am seeing, you know, the little ripple effect that our business is having on other families, in that we're able to consistently deliver our high quality beef to them and nourish them. That's super important to me. And then as far as logistics goes, it's just a lot of communication. And I have to be transparent with people and say, you know, because a lot of times I'm traveling with my newborn or my 4-year-old, and we know how that goes too, as far as like, we're going to have to make a stop, you know, we're going to be a little bit behind or we're running a little bit early. And so the door delivery option is a great, great option for people. You know, we can deliver it to their door and it's definitely safe on their porch for at least 2 hours. So making sure that we keep that beef in quality and maintain it at its temperature.
Well, you're just amazing. And this episode has just gone too fast. I feel like I could ask you 1,000 questions.
I know.
You guys, you got to check out Jordan Clausen at Clausen Land and Cattle. I'll provide you the link to their website. And of course, you got to go check them out. Meet her in person at the farmer's market. Like, this is a family. Once you meet them, you can't help but love them. And that to me exemplifies the heart of rural America, the entrepreneurship we're constantly talking about on the show. You guys are a great gold standard for exactly that. And that is my encouragement to all of you, is if where there's a will, there's a way. And in this cattle business, if we become price makers instead of price takers, it can change your legacy. It can change your family tree, and it can change the course for your family farm and ranch to continue to be on the land doing what you love to do. So Jordan, thank you so much for the time, and hopefully we'll see you on the Dusty Trail very soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, Amanda.
While I've got you here, I would love to invite you to check out my website, AmandaRadke.com. Each week, I share my column, this podcast, and new items to shop for farm and ranch families, including my children's books that celebrate agriculture. Use code DUSTYTRAIL to save 15% on your next purchase. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my small business and for your continued support in keeping me on the road fighting for farm and ranch families. I'm thankful to each and every one of you who tune into this show each week. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review to let me know how you're liking the content and our guests. Until the next time we meet on the Dusty Trail, I'm Amanda Radke, and this is the Heart of Rural America.